Good evening. Welcome to the panel on RNZ National. No mai, haere mai. Wallace Chapman here on iHeart, Spotify and the RNZ app. Well, a new chapter in water reforms begins today, we discuss. And Minister for Racing, Minister for Hunting and Fishing, one for space. Does New Zealand have too many ministerial portfolios? That on the show. And should New Zealand make KiwiSaver compulsory? We talk about that. And our question of the day today. So last month we had Fitter Turner Friday, all about fitter turners, and welders got in touch and said, hey, what about us? So Welding Wednesday on the panel, welding, your arc welding, your MIG welding, your TIG welding, can you do it? I'd love to hear. What's it all about? 2101, or you can email the panel at rnz.co.nz. Yes to all of the above, says a listener, plus just added laser welding, and no soldering doesn't count, as it doesn't melt the base metal to create a contiguous fusion. Soldering is more like a hot glue gun. Well, wouldn't you know it? Keep those texts coming. 2101 with me today. Jenny Morton, Director and Investment Advisor at Craigs Investment Partners. Welcome, Jenny.
Kia ora, Wallace. How are you?
Good, good, good. So in the Christchurch hot seat there, and also in Christchurch, Peter Field hasn't been on for a long time. Head of Humanities at University of Canterbury. Peter, kia ora. It's great to have you back.
Yes, we miss you here, Jenny and I, in the studio in Christchurch. Oh. And now that we can't count soldering, I'm out.
I wish I could be there in the wonderful Christchurch with you too. Can I just add, because you haven't been on for a while, classmates at university with Barack Obama.
Yes, that's true. That just shows you how old I am now. but yeah, he and I were in school together. In fact, we had the same advisor, professor, James Shinton. So I saw a fair amount of him, and I must say, I'm a fool. I cannot prognosticate. And I would have said he would be the last person in my class I would
really
have expected to go on to be President of the United States.
Really?
At the time.
That's extraordinary. All right. Okay. Now, by the way, every Wednesday of the Whip at 7:30, that's our Wednesday politics panel. Today we have Phil Goff, Dan Brunskill, and Lyric Wyatt Eddie Smith. But first, a word on this. So, a petition to deport neo Nazi Thomas Sewell back to New Zealand has reached 50,000 signatures. Recently involved in an alleged violent attack on an Indigenous protest camp, the Victorian Premier disrupted by this self proclaimed neo Nazi during a press conference.
Why don't Australians have the right to protest? Why do you want to ban us for protesting?
Shouldn't we
have the right to speak in our own country, you coward? Shouldn't we have the right to speak in our own country, you coward? Have your goons attacked me? You're a coward.
So the question is here, do we want him? Jenny Morton, born in New Zealand but moved over to Aussie at an early age. Is this really fair?
Well, I must say, if I was an Australian, I'd be asking for him to be deported to New Zealand as well.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, we definitely don't want people like that in New Zealand. And, you know, it's like all of this with the 501s, you know, are they New Zealanders when they've lived most of their life in Australia? But, you know, I can definitely see their point of view on this one. What a dreadful human being.
What do you think, Peter?
Well, I'm glad to say that as an American, I can hear that accent and it doesn't sound at all like a New Zealander to me.
Oh, yeah. So, like, Aussie deportation rules mean that Sewell could be sent back to New Zealand after facing criminal charges. We'll see how that holds up. Watch the space, I guess. All right, 11 past six, the panel with Peter Field and Jenny Morton. So a new chapter in water reforms begins today. So councils to deliver their water delivery plans today. A long and sorry saga that started in 2016 where four people died and others were left permanently disabled due to contaminated water. The district and regional councils were deemed to have failed to provide standard of care. Then years of debate followed. We went through the three waters, didn't we? Then local water done well. Now it appears more than 40 water providers will emerge, many councils choosing to keep water in-house. What does that mean? With us, Gary Kircher, Mayor of Waitaki. Welcome, Gary.
Good evening.
It's hard to sum this topic up, Gary. It is such a long story, isn't it? But look, tell us, where is your council at? Have you submitted?
We have. We made the decision to go in-house along with many others. Our preferred option had been to be a joint CCO with three other councils, but ended up the decision going in-house. And, we've got our water services delivery plan sorted and forwarded it to DIA last week.
Okay, so no joint delivery management arrangement, rather, with other councils, like the Southern Water Done Well model, looking at an in-house scheme. Stay there, Gary. Let's go around a panel on this, Jenny.
Well, Gary, I understand, though, the DIA has already written to six councils, including yours, indicating that your plan to go it alone may not be satisfactory. What does that mean? What does that mean for you, and what does it mean? What are they saying?
Well, they certainly put us in the high-risk category as far as not being able to, I guess, in their judgment, not being able to deliver a sustainable plan. So we've thrown a lot into the plan that we have given to them. So it will be assessed by them and see if it is sustainable, whether there's revenue sufficiency and all of the other measures that they go by.
And if it's not sustainable, what do you have to go back to the drawing board and look at doing a joint model?
Yeah, it sounds like they'll be give us an opportunity to sort it ourselves. And if that doesn't happen, then they send in the Water Commissioner.
Okay.
Send in the Water Commissioner, Peter Field.
Right. Well, I guess the question would be something like, if the issues are local, then a local solution would make sense. Are you saying indeed that for Waitaki, the issues are not broader than Waitaki, but local and therefore should be handled by a smaller entity?
Good question. It's the issues are fairly universal across New Zealand, but the particular solutions have traditionally been at a local level. The government's argument and the previous government's argument is that we don't have scale and we don't have the efficiency. So it is costing quite a bit more, and that is definitely a concern for some of us around our table. It's been a very challenging discussion, and certainly the public opinion to keep things local has been a major factor in the decision.
Okay, so the in-house water delivery model that Waitaki is going to go for, how do you think it's going to affect rates in your area?
They're definitely going to be very high. So we've estimated that with what we're already planning in our long-term plan for the next 2 years, we're going to be not too bad increases, not too major, but with keeping water in-house the next year, it's currently looking at around about a 26% rate increase, and followed by a 13% rate increase the year after. So the challenge is, how do we get that down? How does the next council?
That's significant. Jenny, that's significant.
It is. And I'm wondering, Gary, where did you stand on this yourself? Were you in support of an in-house model, or did you prefer the idea of doing a joint model with other councils?
I've been pretty close to the issue for the last 8 years or more. My choice was to go with a joint CCO. Our council collective decision was the in-house, and so that's what I've supported. But on the day, I couldn't actually support that because of the cost difference and the challenge of affordability to all of our ratepayers.
So you think, Gary, it's going to be cheaper if ratepayers voted for the Southern Water Done Well model? That would have been the cheaper option?
We need efficiency, and we're only going to get that with joining with others. We were actually working with two groups. So there's a Southern group with Central Otago, Clutha and Gore, and we were also working with the South Canterbury group, Timaru, Mackenzie and Waimati. Preferred option was the southern one, but there are some people in the community and around our table that had preferred the South Canterbury option. So spoilt for choice, but we ended up going alone.
It's certainly been the big topic over the last few years in New Zealand, hasn't it, Peter? Across all councils, Wellington, Auckland, the smaller regions, how to deal with delivering fresh, clean water to the populations.
Well, that certainly seems important.
Yeah.
I guess really the issue becomes one of being undercapitalized for years, it seems. It seems like infrastructure has been undercapitalized, and that's a failure of democracy. That's a failure of us not willing to spend all our money. So in that sense, my hat's off to maybe if not to you, Gary, exactly, to your council, because they're saying we're going to own this. It's going to go up 26%, your rates are, and we own it. And that's something better than saying someone else has to pay for it or someone else is to blame for it, because we're all responsible. I mean, we're in a democracy, and democracies have to vote rates up so that we have safe drinking water. We have to pay ourselves to do this.
Gary, is that fair?
but we have to own it one way or the other. I mean, with the joint CCO, yeah, the government's made sure that there's no longer any legal requirement to harmonise costs across different districts. So we were going to own it one way or the other anyway. My concern is that we're going to be paying, you know, 10 to 25% more for the services than if we, you know, if we'd gone in with a joint CCO. But we will see what DIA have to say about it and see whether they direct us.
Can I just bring this up, Gary? I think you mentioned not that long ago that you felt that you had failed your ratepayers.
Yeah, during the speech on adopting the plan to file off to DIA, I just felt that I had not done a good enough job leading my council to get to the best decision. So I made that statement. I think we owe it to our community to make the best decision, and regardless of what 300 submissions might have said, or in our case, about half of those submissions, we still owed it to make the best decision overall. I don't think we did that, but I stood by the decision we did make, because it's my obligation as the mayor.
Well, it's very good to have you here, Gary. Thank you. Kia ora. That's Gary Kircher, mayor of Waitaki. It's a big one, isn't it, Jenny? I mean, gosh, we've banged the drum on water for all these years, and in many ways, kind of no closer, are we?
No, it does seem to be an ongoing, dragged out discussion. And, you know, coming from Canterbury, where we've always boasted about our water and you know, maybe not so much post-earthquake, but definitely before the earthquake, we were so proud of our water.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just such an interesting debate that this natural resource is causing so much angst, really.
Do you have good water that comes out of the taps there, Peter, in Christchurch?
No, I certainly feel we do.
Yep.
It's quite refreshing. It's good. Yes, this is a difficult one. Boy, if we were asking government to do many complicated things, we'd think that they might start with basic infrastructure and water. If we can't get this right, it really does make one worried for many other kinds of decisions around everything else.
By the way, some Christchurch listeners coming in. Daniel in Christchurch. It's good to hear Peter back on the panel. Good to run into Peter also on campus, Daniel says. So there we go. Welcome back. Now, by the way, if you just joined us, our question of the day, strange, if you like, but a few months ago we had Fitter Turners calling us about their trade, and welders got in touch and said, what about us? So look, if you're a welder, what is arc welding? What is TIG welding? What is MIG welding? Tell us about the world of welding. We want to hear from you. 2101. Is it easy? Is it hard? Can you do it? But to this, 21 past 6, Minister for Racing, Minister for Hunting and Fishing, one for space. Does New Zealand have too many ministerial portfolios? Get this. Denmark has 25. New Zealand, we've got 81. There's a call for a swinging cut to the number of our government agencies. A report called Unscrambling Government by the New Zealand Initiative says we have three times as many portfolios and nearly twice as many departments as comparable countries, and argues that this makes accountability unclear, drives up costs, slow solutions. For more on this, co-author of the report, Roger Partridge. Welcome, Roger.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. So exactly how many portfolios, ministers, departments do we have?
We have 81 ministerial portfolios. We have 28 ministers and 43 departments. And if you imagine them lined up in three columns, a column for 28 ministers, a column of 81 ministerial portfolios, and a column for 43 departments. What you see is as many crisscrossing lines as you could possibly imagine. Yet when you compare us with a country like Norway, the same chart would show 20 ministerial portfolios, 20 ministers, 20 departments, and horizontal lines. So we've created a maze that looks more like a game of Twister, our org chart, than an org chart. And that has costs, as you mentioned, fragmented decision-making, lack of accountability, and higher fiscal costs.
Let's go
and
on.
That seems to be recognised across the political divide. I was very encouraged to hear Chris Hipkins on radio today, with whom I've had several conversations on this topic, expressing support for the idea of simplifying things.
Yeah, so Norway, 17 portfolios, Singapore, 16. The idea, Jenny, is to say, for example, Ministry of Finance to fold in the Treasury and the Ministry for Regulation, that new ministry there. Jenny, what do you think? Any fish hooks in this?
Oh, there's bound to be fish hooks. There always are. And the devil is in the detail. I actually don't mind it. I think that, you know, we do seem to have an unwieldy public service. And I wonder how that's come about. Is it because we do like to have a department for everything in New Zealand, and we have a minister for everything, you know, with ministers for the South Island, ministers for Auckland, you know. It does seem to have grown and become unwieldy. And I sort of wonder why that's happened. Roger, do you have an opinion on why it's come about?
Yes. We've always had quite a lot of government departments. They've always been more fragmented, going back 30, 40, 50 years, more fragmented than other small countries. And we looked at Ireland, Norway, Singapore, and Australia. Australia particularly interesting because they went through this sort of consolidation exercise in the 1980s. So we've always had more departments than similar nations. We haven't had this proliferation of ministerial portfolios, at least not to the extent we have now. That's a more recent phenomenon. And it can probably be traced back to MMP. And to satisfy a particular issue or a particular coalition need, instead of transferring a portfolio, we've just sliced a bit off. We've treated portfolios like political currency and inflated them. And now's the time to step back and say, well, actually, where are we, and is this really good governance?
Okay, Peter.
Yes, I'm tempted to say, how many ministries does it take to poison our water? but I'll get serious here. As an American now, did I dream that behind New Zealand Initiative is Elon Musk?
No, probably not.
Because DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, does not seem to be going very well in the United States. And I know we Kiwis are definitely superior. And 81 ministries is ridiculous. My question would be about churn, because certainly churn, that is just changing things without actually addressing fundamental problems, is always worse. So I hope that we have faith in our institution to shrink itself. But that's often very hard, and often we lose the best people who quit when ministries try to shrink themselves.
Yeah, so this is the goal here is not shrinking headcount. That's a different issue, and we put that to one side. The focus here is on organisational coherence. So just to give you a couple of practical examples, or one in particular, housing. We've got a housing problem in New Zealand, and we've had it for a long time. It spans up to a dozen, and certainly at least six core ministerial portfolios: housing, building and construction, local government, environment, infrastructure, transport, social development for emergency housing. And so if you want to bring about policy reform in housing, that's at least six opportunities for ministers to negotiate different priorities and or their departments to say, oh, no, what we're doing matters the most. And so you've created this complex decision-making matrix where the incentives may not be for the optimal outcome.
Some of it controversial, though, Roger. For example, you are going to fold. You're going to fold the Ministry for Ethnic Communities, the Ministry for Pacific Peoples, the Ministry of Social Development, and the Ministry for Women into one entity, the Ministry for Communities. How on earth is that going to serve all those groups?
Well, it's what most countries do. Take Ireland, for example. They have a single ministry for equality and diversity and communities. It covers Roma and travellers. So it's not that unusual. So that's what we did. We said, well, actually, for each of these ideas, what do other countries do differently that don't have this fragmented problem? And let's find a precedent for what it is we're suggesting. So there's nothing that we're suggesting here that isn't working somewhere else in a peer nation.
Are you happy with that, Jenny?
It seems to make sense. However, nothing is ever that simple, is it? And I mean, you know, that does cause controversy. People do want to feel like they're represented in government. And to me, it makes sense.
Okay.
But I can see where it would cause some issue.
Here's another one. Take the Cancer Control Agency, all right? It's a big deal in our society right now. So they existed because cancer advocates fought for years for independent national leadership on cancer control. You swipe it off.
So we're not swiping anything off. We're simply amalgamating functions. So we've got like with like, and so that the Minister for Health has their hands on the levers needed to bring about change in a coherent portfolio domain. And, of course, what we've put up here are illustrative models. And there's a temptation with any big picture thinking. Let's say you've just got new plans from your architect for a house, and they're concept plans, and you dive in and say, yes, but what colour are the kitchen tiles going to be? So I think there's plenty of room for quibbles with how we've grouped things together. Our quibbles are welcome. But the big concept is that we've got way too much fragmentation. We've got way too much fragmentation, in particular, in ministerial portfolios. Mm-hmm. They need to be consolidated.
Fair point, Peter. As an outsider, I guess, coming in from the US, you look at our small country and go, actually, we could probably streamline.
It's hard to say. You know, I recall thinking, what a wasteful enterprise roading in New York City used to seem to me. And then I visited the USSR to study. And I came back thinking, oh, no, we're pretty efficient in our road building in the United States. So it's really hard to say. Okay. I really like, though, the fact that, Wallace, you're channeling your inner Lisa Owen here.
I'm just
challenging Roger.
What?
It's great to see.
I'm just doing my thing on the panel. Thank you. I mean, Lisa's great. Just finally, Roger, now what are you going to do with MBE? I mean, that's the mega organization that is.
Yeah, so MBE's a different problem. There, we've brought together a whole series of somewhat related or arguably related functions, and put them in one department. That was to meet the needs of a particular government at the time. It hasn't proved enduring. It used to report to one main minister. It now reports to 20 ministers. No one with a clean sheet of paper would sit down and design an organisation that reports to 20 ministers.
Interesting discussion. It'd be interesting to see how this develops over the years. Roger, thank you for your time on the panel.
Thank you very much.
It is Roger Partridge from the New Zealand Initiative. It's just gone 31. The question of the day is, can you weld? Anything to do with welding, get in touch on the panel. Plus, after 7, we've got a couple of listeners on this. But here's one from Richard Wallace. Our best man was an arc welder from Pairua who transitioned from being on the tools to selling MIG welders and rods. His secret to being one of the top salespeople, when it came down to the crunch, he'd roll out his secret weapon, don his overalls, and do a perfect weld. Competition over, sale made.